And we're back after a little break. I have lots of little breaks, don't I? This is a very special episode. Two amazing singers with two great stories that I came across completely by chance. Subscribe on iTunes or Headstuff to make sure you hear about new episodes. And if you like this episode, please make sure you leave a rating or a nice comment on iTunes. And a big thanks to those who have been doing that, because apparently it helps you go up in the charts, which is really cool. Wouldn't it be lovely to have a number one? Anyway, it's really nice just to hear that people are enjoying the episodes. Actually, that was a filthy, downright dirty lie. It's not enough to know that people like it. I want a number one. Is that too much to ask? So get reviewing and writing. Right, let's get going. Here's the crappy music. Hello, you are very welcome to another episode of Fascinated. Now, this episode is going to be a little bit different, because in previous episodes I talk to people about things they have done, but my guests today are just getting started. They don't know each other, they're from different parts of the world, and from different backgrounds, but they have one thing in common. They have incredible voices. Also, they have gut-wrenching soul. Okay, that's two things in common. Halle Ridgeway is still in school, she's 17 years of age, and Kiani Starr is 25. Now, both of these girls are still really young, but when they sing, they channel the spirits of the great old goddesses of soul. But you'll hear that for yourself later on. The night I first saw Halle was one of the strangest experiences of her life. She was on a night out with her sisters to see Idina Menzel, and something unexpected happened. I met Kiani completely by chance. Her epic tale involves Mark Ronson and PJ Gallagher. And yes, that's the first time those names have ever been used in the same sentence. She told us the story behind this line in Uptown Funk. Now, I would like to tell you that I went searching, used contacts and journalistic sources to find the right guests, but I absolutely didn't. They just fell into my lap through random series of events. And sometimes things happen like that that you could never have foreseen. And if there's one person that knows about this, it's Halle.
My sister, she was like, put her arm out, and she's like, she can sing. And then she looks at me and she goes, can you sing? And I was like, yeah.
On the 20th of June, I had a Saturday night off, which is rare for a comedian, and me and my other half went to see Idina Menzel. Now, long-time listeners of this show will know that I love a musical, and Idina Menzel is a big Broadway star, but these days she's probably more well-known for this.
Let it go! Let it go!
But before that, she was the lead in Wicked, and before that again, she was in the original production on Broadway of Rent, and that's where the story picks up. One of the famous songs from Rent is a duet called Take Me or Leave Me, and she sang a verse.
So, you know, this song is actually a duet, right? It's sung between two. So I was hoping that I could get some help. It's a song sung between two women, you know, but
when this started, my heart sank. I thought, no, don't do it, Idina. It's going to be a load of tone-deaf Dubliners roaring lines of a great song into a mic. I thought, oh God, this is going to be awful. Lots of people were volunteering themselves, and there were a group of girls shouting for their sister, pick her, pick her. And Idina Menzel got Halle to stand up, and this happened. This clip is on YouTube, but what I don't think it captures is how crazy the place went for her. There was a good atmosphere in the room anyway, but when Halle sang, it was like a spark hitting petrol. It was great to witness a moment like this. It's like, it's the magic of something live, and it was like seeing a shooting star or Halley's Comet or something, because anyone that I spoke to afterwards that had been at that gig, the first thing they would say was, oh my God, when that girl sang, it was unreal. Now, at that time, I had no idea even of what Halley's name was. I couldn't remember. But a couple of months later, I was gigging in Belfast. We were backstage chatting and somebody mentioned singers. And I started my story saying, oh, I went to Idina Menzel and guess what happened? And while I was talking, Matthew Collins, a comedian and supercomputer research genius from BBC's Great Unanswered Questions, handed me his phone and said, there she is. And sure enough, it was Halley's Facebook page. So I contacted her about doing an interview, and 17-year-old Halley told her mother Anya that a guy that she didn't know from the internet wanted to meet her to chat and could she go around to my apartment. Now that was not my finest moment. A couple of days later, Halley and her mum Anya called around for a cup of tea and we had this chat. And I have to say, she's an absolute sweetheart. I didn't realise you are 17?
Yeah, and no one really knows. They always think I'm around 19, 20. And like, that's with no makeup, and then with makeup, they're like, oh yeah, you're 21. I'm like, no, 17.
So are you in school now?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, people that are listening to this podcast, they probably won't have heard of Halley Ridgway yet. We're going to say yet at the end of that, okay? Because I first saw you, I went to see Idina Menzel.
Yeah.
Like everybody who likes a musical in Dublin, because she was in the Borgash Theatre and she was brilliant. And she was the best thing we'd seen singing that night until she decided to sing Take Me or Leave Me from Rent.
Yeah.
And she needed people from the audience to join in.
Yeah.
And what happened?
So basically, she just came down off the stage and she's there, oh, this is a duet, I need someone to sing it with me. And I had my hand up like, oh, pick me. It wasn't even like, I want it. It was just like, oh, pick me. And then where I was sitting was at the edge and there was no one in front of us. So as she was about to walk by, and I was starstruck from her just walking by me, like, and then my sister, she was like, put her arm out and she's like, she can sing. And then she looked at me and she goes, can you sing? And I was like, yeah, I got, no, like, my heart was racing, like, I didn't know how to react. And then she was like, I love your eyeliner. And I was like, oh my God, she's talking to me.
Oh, wow.
And this was like, and then she was like, oh, where do you want to start? And I was like, I don't know. And then my sister literally, she put her hand straight down to calm me. And then, like, I was like, grand. She gave me the microphone and then I just sang. And then after, it was like, I went from one extreme to the other. And the minute the mic was handed to me, I was like, I just froze. I just sang. I just, it came out. And then when it was over, I was just, I was crying. I didn't know how to react. And then when she went around and she got two other people to sing with her, and then she was like, Halley, come up to the stage. And then she was like, oh yeah, you two come up to the stage. And then we just, I got to sing again.
It was amazing.
Yeah, well, the dream comes true. I forgot one of the words, I forgot like a line in the song. And I was like, oh my God. And she was like, I can go. And I was like, oh my God, okay.
So is singing in your family?
Well, I'm fostered, so like when I came to my family, I was literally singing and dancing coming in, and like I used to just watch movies, songs, the music channel 24/7, nonstop, and like I guess just.
Wow! So yeah. So you were just literally a singer and dancer coming into this family.
Yeah.
So was everyone like, oh my God?
Yeah, like yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
This is gonna be brilliant. We got a really, really good one.
And like I remember for my like 12th birthday, my mom got me a recording studio gig, and I got to sing a song
actual
recording studio.
At what age?
12.
12 years. Yeah. Because you don't have the voice of a 17-year-old girl.
No. Everyone says that. Yeah.
A blues singer in like a New York downtown nightclub.
Yeah, I mean, New Orleans.
That's exactly, and it's really mature, and it's really powerful and strong. And anyone that's listened to this have to go and see the clip on your YouTube page of the whole thing with Idina Menzel, because it was unbelievable. Because it was, and even I was kind of delighted it was online because it's like, oh, I've been talking about this and people can actually go and see it.
Oh no, it was such a great experience. Like,
and what else do you do when you're singing? Are you in a club? Or do drama?
Oh yeah, I'm in the MVW Talent Agency Ireland.
Okay.
It's Maureen Ward, and she just does singing in town there.
Okay.
St. Stephen's Green, and like I do sing with her, and she coaches me. Yeah.
And have you been in musicals, or have you recorded anything?
Not really. What did I do? RTE, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lovely getting in there. Right into the RTE, lovely.
I did RTE, when was I? I think 14, I think it was. Okay. And, what? 13.
You were 13, yeah, okay. And was it telly or radio?
Telly.
Oh, wow.
And it was a show called Sing. Right. I don't think, yeah, it was a show called Sing, and it's basically a singing show, a singing game show, like, and you have to guess the word of the song.
Oh, I do remember that, actually.
Yeah, and then I got to sing the, you know, Gold Digger, the She Take My Money, yeah, that part. Wow. We got to sing that, and like, even at that, like, everyone was like, how old are you? I'm 13. They're like, what? they couldn't believe it, because like, you have such a strong voice. I was like, oh, God.
It's like, and it is an amazing voice.
Yeah, like, I'm not one to take compliments. I'm just like, oh, okay, thank you. Like, I'm not, I don't really, I wouldn't, like, if someone's like, oh, can you sing? I'm like, I like to think I can.
No, you can't. This is what we need to know this time. You absolutely can. You absolutely can. And I think Idina Menzel, yeah. I think she did well to follow him. Like, well
and
done,
like,
Idina.
Everyone, even after, everyone was like, so was that planned before? I was like, no.
Yeah, because then I kind of wondered, that I'm so glad. Because I think if you'd have come here and said, well, we'd met Idina the previous day and we'd
oh,
ran
no.
four times.
Trust me.
Like, oh, no.
Like, it was completely random. Like, I went in with my two sisters, and we were just sitting, and we were like, oh my God, we're going to see Idina. We got the program, we're like, oh my God, we're going to see Idina, oh my God. And then she started singing, we were crying when she started singing Defying Gravity.
Oh, yeah.
We were like, oh my God. And then, what was it? And then, even at the end, when she was doing Let It Go,
oh yeah,
she came over to me, and she was like, girl, I got to sing that part as well. I was like, she came over again.
Oh, wow.
But like, I got to hug her about 50 times, like, there was one point I was like, I'm going to take you home. I love you so much.
Oh, wow.
She was just amazing. Like,
and so what do you, you're 17 now. So yeah. you're in school. You're doing, are you doing Leaving Cert?
Leaving Cert, yeah.
Oh, big year. So what's the plan?
I want to do just early childhood education. Just a BLC in that, get a year in that, and just have that under
my
belt.
Beyonce has a backup plan.
Yeah, and then. Oh, well, she's flawless anyway. She can do anything.
Whatever, she couldn't do that.
And then after, Maureen's helping me at the moment with auditions, so.
Okay.
And then I want to go over to England, hopefully, and do either, like, you know, singing theater, basically singing. Musical theatre, yeah.
And do you want, is it musical theatre or is it like recording or
like
or is it what
just
do you have a plan?
Like, I just want to be out there, you know. I want to be in that industry and singing and doing something that I love, basically. So,
and does it, is it daunting that I suppose if you want like the musical theatre training and stuff, that's London,
because
like there isn't really that here, isn't
yeah
it?
No,
sure,
there isn't,
and it's big
all.
Money too,
yeah, it is. See, that's the problem. Maureen was saying to me, if you go to places outside of London, they're usually cheaper.
Yeah, Manchester.
So like, she was like, Essex, Liverpool. I was like, oh yeah. So she's there helping. She's gonna be helping me be picking a place and.
Cool.
Oh, helping me out with auditions and yeah.
Yeah, and so. Yeah, you can just do a concert in Ireland. Right? Yeah. But I'll do comedy. We'll get comedians. You can just thank us all on the album.
Definitely.
And so you're going musical theatre. Okay, so you've got a few months to leave in there.
Yeah.
And if people want to look you up or if they want to get in touch.
Yeah.
Obviously, firstly, they need to get through Mammy.
Yeah.
We need to stress that. We've learned you have to get through Mammy if you want Holly. Well done, Mammy. Would you mind singing a little bit?
Yeah, don't mind. What would you like?
Would you, a bit of Take Me Leave?
Take Me Leave, yeah. Okay, I still actually can't remember that line that she was singing. Every single day I walk down the street, I hear people say, baby, so sweet. Ever since puberty, everybody stares at me. Boys, girls, I can't help it, baby. So be kind and don't lose your mind. Just remember that you're my baby. Take me for what I am, who I was meant to be. And if you give a damn, take me, baby, or leave me.
That is the best thing that's ever been sung of this kid.
Thank you.
That was amazing. Thank you so much for doing
this. Thank you.
Lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
Now, around the same time I was telling people about my night at Idina Menzel, I heard the end of an interview with Mark Ronson. He was excited about a gospel singer he had found from Mississippi. She had been thrown out of the choir by her father, who was the pastor, because she had gotten pregnant and had started to sing in nightclubs instead. Now, Mark Ronson had found her and was now working with her, and he guaranteed the interviewer that she was going to be a big star. It sounded like a great story, and I wrote her name down on a piece of paper, which I lost about 5 minutes later. A couple of months later, I was doing interviews to promote my show in the Dublin Tiger Fringe with Chris Kent, and after I did the 4FM breakfast show, me and my old mate PJ Gallagher went for a coffee in the Gibson Hotel, and we got chatting to a girl in the coffee shop, someone that we thought was the waitress.
Looking at the Three Arena through the window having coffee, and I don't know, some big food event or something on, they were putting up these big green tents
here or something. Yeah,
and there was like, we didn't know what it was for, what was going on, and we thought this woman that was sitting beside us was working on it, because her hoodie was the same color as these big green things. I can't remember which one of us, turned around to her and says, "What's going on over there?" And she was like, "I have no idea." I don't know. We thought she was a waitress. It never dawned on us that a woman with two suitcases wouldn't be a waitress from the event that was about to happen across the road.
Yeah. She definitely wasn't a waitress.
And she was like, she kind of seemed very humble, because she was like, "Oh no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'm just here because I was singing."
Yeah, she was humble at the start.
Yeah.
She was, though. Yeah. Like, "Oh, you're a singer." And you're like, "Oh, yeah. And then, we're singing in here." And we got everything then.
Yeah, because she was saying then, "No, I was singing over here." I'm like, "Oh, who are you? Why were you in the O2? Who are you?"
Yeah, then we got everything.
We got the whole story.
Oh, we got the whole laugh. We got the religious background, the choir background, the house church group, that she was a ma. We got all of that. And our taxi, she was just waiting on a taxi. So we got an awful lot of information in quite a compressed amount of time.
Yeah, very
And similar. Photographs.
And photographs. We got photographs. Yeah. I forgot about them. Yeah, and then I carried her. I was a gentleman. Carried her cases.
You did, but to be fair, you were trying to get her for your podcast.
Yeah,
it wasn't exactly a gentlemanly thing. We're like, "I need to get her on my own."
Yeah,
spring the request on when it's awkward that she won't really want to say no.
Yeah, when I have all her belongings in my hand. Yeah. Going, do you want this back, or
no, will I just empty your shit into the shore? And we can do, there's a couple of ways we can do it.
Yeah, it happened way more gentlemanly than that. She told us how she had been discovered by Mark Ronson and had recorded a song for his album Uptown Special. She even told us that Bruno Mars was so taken with the way she says the name of her hometown, Jackson, Mississippi, that he copied it for the line in Uptown Funk. Things are happening for Kiani really, really fast. Her song I Can't Lose was released as a single last summer, and she was all over the place. She was in festivals, she was on TV all over the world, and now she's recording her debut album. I got to chat to her when she was back home in Jackson, and she was absolutely fantastic to talk to. She has a really great outlook, and with a voice like that, she's going to be huge. It was so cool to run into you the other day. That was so funny the way that happened.
It was cool. It was kind of cool. And like listening to your interview, I was like, those hoodies were so warm. I had to get one. And I figured, I didn't even know like the O2 was even like a big deal.
Yeah, you know? The O2, yeah. It's one of the biggest, it's one of the biggest venues in Ireland.
I didn't know. I just kind of showed up, you know?
Yeah, just rocked up to do a few songs.
I know, it was just a cold night in Ireland and I just wanted a hoodie. I wasn't prepared. It's summertime where I'm from.
Tell me, whereabouts in the world are you now?
I am in Jackson, Mississippi.
Jackson, Mississippi. That's down south.
Yes.
If I have my geography right.
Southern
Belle, exactly. And tell us, okay, basically your career has just taken off in a big way.
Right, it definitely has. I kind of just woke up in a dream.
If people don't know, people that are listening to this, you are the voice of Mark Ronson's new single, I Can't Lose. So you are that, you're that raspy, throaty, sexy lady singing that song. Yes. And what age are you?
I am 25 years old.
And you've got the voice of this jazz diva who has been singing in smoky jazz bars for years. Your voice is unbelievable.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. That's an awesome description. It makes me blush.
And tell us, how did all that come about with Mark
Ronson? As far as my... Oh, with Mark Ronson. I thought you were saying my voice. I'm like, I don't know. I smoke a pack of cigarettes a day. I'm lying. But no, with Mark Ronson, I'm actually, like I said, I'm from Clinton, Jackson, Mississippi. And I've been singing my entire life. I'm a pastor's kid. Grew up singing in churches and basically singing around the city. And Mark and Jeff Basker were going around the South looking for like that Southern soul, like that Southern grit. They had already previously written I Can't Lose. So they, from my understanding and based off, you know, just interviews, they were saying that they were going around looking for like the next young Chaka Khan. And yeah, so they came around, and actually in my city, I had a friend who gave me a call. He's a singer as well. He was like, hey, some guys from California, some producers, they want to hear some people sing. You should just go check it out. And me being me, I mean, I had to sing somewhere that night. So I had no clue who Mark was. So I really just didn't take it as an opportunity or anything serious. I just was like, oh, you want to hear some singers? You know, you're in my city, so I'm going to sing.
And do you remember how did the audition go?
I remember the audition like it was yesterday. Like, you know, now that I know that it was definitely a, you know, it made a major impact in my life. I remember like his outfit. He came in with these blue and green schoolboy plaid pants with like this navy blue Letterman with his hair slicked back. Yeah, it was, and when I saw him, I immediately started cracking jokes because I'm like, you're not from here. Like, where are you from? Like, who are you and why are you here? So, yeah, so when I saw him, I was like cracking jokes, you know, kind of like making jokes about his outfit, not in a bad way, like basically complimenting his swag, telling him he was fly. And like, next time he saw me, I probably would have a similar outfit on.
Well, he. He said that when he saw you, he thought you just looked so badass, and they just said to each other, God, you know, if only she had the voice we're looking for. And clearly you did.
I know. Yeah, clearly I did. And it's funny because I'm such a sweetheart, and for people to say that I look so badass, you know, that's kind of funny. But trust me, I ain't gonna kill it, but don't push me. So but yeah, I'm really a cool, laid back girl. So when I think the description of badass was, I mean, I'm really like a hippie rock star. I think that's like the best way to describe me.
And what did you sing for him? What was the song that stole his heart?
I actually sung an old song. I sang a couple of songs. We sang a Lauryn Hill song, and I also sang an Anita Baker song, Sweet Love. Anita Baker, Sweet Love.
Oh, that's a great song.
I'm an old song.
That, yeah, that is a brilliant song. Funky.
I know. And, yes, can't deny the funk.
And in like in Jackson, Mississippi, were you known as you know, did they like, did people know you? Were you singing in bars or like where was your singing career before you met Mark Ronson?
Prior to Mark Ronson, I was locally singing around my city in Jackson. I was definitely known in Jackson. So basically I was out here grinding, singing. Whatever that was, a microphone, that would be a Keane.
Yeah.
You know, and, singing, writing, performing.
And had you done studio stuff before then, or?
Yes. I'm 25. I've literally like been singing my entire life, kind of like feeding back off of Mark's story about me. I'm a pastor's child, so their main reason for coming to the South was, you know, Southern people were known for like the, you know, being, Mississippi is like the religious belt, like, yeah, the church belt. So to come to the South, you're basically looking for a distinct, unique type of soul. You know, it's not just like it's a marinated soulfulness, yeah, if I could say, you know, it's a seasoned soulfulness. It's something somebody can't teach you.
It's kind of like, you know, passion from your guts.
Yeah, yeah. It got to come from your guts. It got to come from your soul. So, yeah, he was actually looking in churches, like, for his singer. And I just happened to be a pastor's daughter, and I actually kind of stopped singing in church. I never stopped singing in church, but after I got pregnant with my daughter, being a pastor's child, I was unable to sing in church, like in the choir, because I basically was pregnant out of wedlock, not being married, pregnant. I was 19, 20, So my dad made me step down from the choir. So that was kind of like my motivation to say, okay, I want to sing. This is my passion. And I don't necessarily have to sing in a church to pursue my passion.
And did that must have broken your heart a little bit when you had to step down.
Yeah, it was definitely disheartening. But, you know, now I can say it made me a better person. But being that something at that point, all that I knew, you know, other outside of singing in choral music, like school choirs, yeah. I was really like strictly church singing. But after that experience, it kind of motivated me to, I would say, find myself, find my true voice.
Wow. And is that when you started singing in bands and in clubs and stuff
yes.
like that?
That is exactly when I started singing in clubs.
So you went right over to the dark side. Yeah.
Right. Rebel.
Yeah. And when, you know, when you did like that, you know, you met Mark Ronson and you did that audition and obviously it went well. What did you think when you left? Did you think, oh, well, that was cool? Or did you think, I'm going to be a star?
You know what? It's crazy. And people probably think that I'm so crazy, but this is like so the 100% truth. Like I told you before, I had no clue who he was. So I didn't really take the situation seriously. I've been singing for forever. And the place that they were actually holding the audition, it was somewhere that I sing very often. So I wasn't really that much out of my comfort zone. So I really kind of sang and went about my way because I had something to do that night. I had another gig that night. So yeah. So I gave him my card and I was like, yeah, call me. And actually, if I would have paid attention thoroughly at that time, Jeff Basker actually told me that he had a song for me. And Mark was like, no, you can't tell her that. But I like I said, I didn't know who he was. So it was just like, oh, OK, well, just call me. Gave them my card. They actually called. They had one of the representatives call me, but they were calling me from California, and me being from Mississippi, I'm not used to people from California calling me at that time. So I was like, that's a bill collector. Like, who is this calling me? So I never I never answered the phone actually. Like I kind of was running away from it, like not intentionally at all. It was really, I just wasn't aware. I was like, who is this calling me? And they never left a voicemail or anything. They just consistently called. And I'm like, this is a bill collector. When I get the money, I'll pay you. You know, like that's what my head was, like honestly, like wholeheartedly. So how they end up actually getting in contact with me was through a mutual friend that had auditioned, and they brought us down to Memphis. Where we recorded I Can't Lose, but they brought me down to Al Green's studio, and I also visited Elvis Presley's studio, Sun Studios. And during the process of recording, Mark pulled me to the side and he asked me, was I ready to be a superstar? And I was like, don't fucking play with me. Like, don't play with my emotions, you know? And I was like, yes, like I'm so ready to quit my job at Comcast. Like, yeah, so at that particular, I was working at a cable company. I was answering the phone.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. To be honest, it's been history ever since. Like, once I actually got to Memphis and I kind of was aware, like, I'm in Al Green Studios. I'm in Elvis Presley Studios. Like, this is a historical moment. Maybe, like, that particular night, I went to my hotel room and I did a little research. And I was just like, oh, shit. Like, these are real people. Like, this is a legitimate person. And I've just been kind of, like, you know, being nonchalant about it. Like, oh, you want me to sing? Sure, I'll sing.
So how long ago was it that you recorded the song?
We recorded I Can't Lose in February of 2014.
So, okay, so it's been about a year and a half. Yes. Since it all kicked off. And how, like, because it's gone a bit crazy for you, hasn't it? Like, we met you in Dublin.
Right.
So how have things changed for you?
You know, things have definitely changed. It's almost like I tell people all the time, like I'm literally like living inside of a dream. I would say that after the song actually came out, I didn't realize how much like radio play and how much like publicity the song had gotten. Like, I was just honored to sing and be in the presence of like such awesome producers, you know, like, and just an awesome caliber of people. And once it kind of like everything spent off, and I think I had the first moment when I was in H&M. I was in a store shopping, like a store that I just regularly shop at. And I don't know what I was doing. I was in a dressing room, actually. And I was like, I heard this song, and I'm like, I was singing a song, and I'm like, I know this song, and why do I know this song? And like, once the beat dropped, and I was like, wait a minute, that's me. I was like, wait a minute, that's me. And so like, I think at that moment, I definitely shed like a bunch of tears, kind of called my mom. And I think Glastonbury was my first show in England. And that was like a surreal moment for me. So yeah, I think I'm literally like just kind of living in a dream. I'm amazed just as other people are amazed, you know?
Wow. And how has your parents reacted? How have they been?
You know, when I initially just started singing out, they encouraged me to sing gospel music. And I would never like not sing gospel. Like, I'm not a heathen, you know? So, no, and they were like, just not singing gospel. But it's just not like when I write, when my natural flow, that's just not my flow. But with my parents, it's been like a process. I think the more I came out and the more everything basically was brought into the light is the more they were starting to be supportive. Because at first, to them, I was just hopping on airplanes and, you know, yeah. What are you doing? Like, you know, what are you doing? I don't think we see that you're leaving home. I don't think we only hear what you're saying. But when the articles start coming out and yeah.
It must be amazing for them to know that you're like doing something like Glastonbury or, you know, things like that. Whereas, you know, a few years ago, I suppose when there was the trouble, you know, you have to leave the choir.
Right.
I mean, you've been set on this path now for something that's so... Like the potential, right.
Right.
Like things have changed so much for you in a year. I mean, right. Who knows what's going to happen in another year? I mean, do you have any plans?
Yes, right now, I just recently came off the summer tour with Mark for the album. So with him coming off the road, me coming off the road, we're trying to get in the studio. We're getting in the studio. We're going to make an album. We're going to make more music. That's what we're gonna do. So this time next year, we'll be talking about the songs on my album.
That must be really exciting.
That's definitely exciting, just to be able to pour my heart out to the world, you know? And to feel like all the shit you've gone through in life isn't in vain, you know? Like.
Yeah, I mean, what about your friends and stuff like that? It must be so strange for them to... You know, because it's not like you're doing well in America or you're doing well in Mississippi. I mean, it's worldwide. Like,
it is worldwide. And, you know, I will say during this journey, it's been interesting. I don't really have a lot of friends. Like, I'm kind of like a loner. I do have friends. I have my special few, like my I will call them my Fab Five. I would call them like five. I have like my Fab Five, you know. I have my Ashley, my Maria. I have my first, like my cousin. I have a cousin named Tutu that I love dearly. yeah. So yeah, I would say like my Fab Five.
And when you were growing up, who were the people that you were looking at on TV and going, yeah, you know, who were your big influences?
Yeah, me being 25, I was born in 90. Woo woo, 90 baby.
1990, oh my God.
I was born in 1990, yes. So I think I was born like when, you know, when R&B and hip hop was like making the scene real tough. So I grew up like kind of, first of all, I wasn't supposed to watch anything secular. Like I said, I had to sneak to watch these things because we weren't able to watch anything if it wasn't like gospel, or biblical, or religious. So okay. If I wasn't like at my friend's house or like in my room locked up and I knew my mom or my grandmama or my granddaddy was like not at home or doing something that I could watch it, I would watch it. But so I remember like Beyonce, Bills.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that. I was in front of, you know, trying to figure out those dances. Like,
We were all trying to figure out those dances, exactly. Joni.
I remember singing the I'm a Survivor. I remember singing that like in my fifth grade talent show. So it's, you know, yeah. But just kind of influences. I grew up on Lauryn Hill. I'm a Lauryn Hill fanatic. I actually just saw her in concert live this month for the first time. And wow. Oh my God, it was orgasmic. can I say these things?
You can say whatever you want. It's totally cool. That's amazing.
That's crazy. So two people on my bucket list have already been checked off, and I've seen them back to back.
Who was
I saw
one?
Chaka Khan in August. Oh, wow. I sang in August. I was privileged to be on the bill at the Jackson Rhythm and Blues Festival here in Mississippi, and they had Chaka Khan as one of the headliners. So I was privileged to be able to, you know, open up for her, open up as one of the open acts prior to her coming on.
Did you get to meet her?
I didn't get to meet her like personally. No, I actually like left before her set. Just me having to be there the whole time, and you know, having a set of my own. But I had to like experience her. Like I was literally like in front of her, like on like directly in front of the stage. And you know, in Rolling Stone, they're calling me a young Chaka Khan.
Yeah. And so,
with her being a redhead, me being a redhead, her being the zodiac sign of Aries, I'm a zodiac sign of Aries. I just feel like she's my mother and she doesn't know it.
Yeah, you are definitely the new Chaka Khan. You've got that growly sort of voice and soul. Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely her.
It's like, you know, I was just amazed at her fabulousness. Like, it was just...
Yeah, she's... Oh, Ain't Nobody. That's like... Nobody will touch that song.
No, Kano. And then she sings it so effortlessly, like, you know, like anytime you can sashay across the stage with flat sandals on and just like be super cute and like, it's just, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. give life, feed my soul.
Oh, and have you had, what's been the moment, I suppose, in the past, say, 18 months where you've thought to yourself, oh my God, I have arrived?
What was the moment? I think Glastonbury was definitely a moment, but my first television performance was a moment for me. Like, it was a lot for me to take in. I actually performed on the Alan Carr show this past summer.
Yeah.
I performed there. That was my first TV debut. So I performed at his season finale, actually, which is awesome. And I was there with the cast of Entourage. I was there with Samuel L. Jackson. I got to sing on his bar, like, cool. On his after party the next day. So that was pretty cool.
Wow.
So I think once I walked into, I walked on set basically for sound check for the Alan Carr show, and when I walked on set, like, I've never seen my name that big. Like, my name, me and Mark's name, was basically the set scene.
Wow.
And it was like, I was so overwhelmed. Like, I didn't know whether to laugh, to cry, to smile, to, like, I just didn't know how to feel, you know. It was just like, yeah, it was kind of like a mama, I made it.
It's so brilliant. Before I met you that day, I'd actually heard Mark Ronson was doing an interview in Ireland talking about your story, and he just seemed so full of just excitement about your voice. He didn't want to talk about any other song on the album, nothing. It was just like, yeah, this girl, you've got it. This girl, it's going to happen for her.
It is. I love Mark. Mark is awesome. He's an awesome producer. Like, he's a musical genius. Him and my producer, Jeff Basker, like, they're so awesome. They're so, like, motivating and patient, because, like, for them to meet me in such a raw form and, you know, and to have the patience to deal with me and, like, okay, we're going to get this right and we're going to do this. But once we get it, we got it.
And there's definitely going to be people out there who are in the situation that you were in a few years ago. You know, things are not going right for them, and, you know, maybe they're losing the place that they get to do their thing, you know, which is what happened to you. You couldn't sing in church anymore. Do you have anything, well, like, what's your advice for those people?
My advice for anybody who just kind of going through something, trying to get to that next level, be persistent, man. Don't give up. And I would say, I hate to be cliche, I hate to just go Bible book on you, but all things work for the good. You know, yeah. You have to be optimistic. You have to be positive. And it could definitely be worse. So, with me, once I stopped victimizing myself, saying what was wrong or what I didn't have, and just, solely utilizing all of the resources that I did have and just taking advantage of any opportunity, you know, my time came, my moment came. It's not, I feel like it's not about chasing a dream. You just have to, meet it halfway, you know?
Do you have any nerves about the whole thing, or do you just have 100% self-belief?
I mean, I'm human, so I would say, I mean, I have anxieties and insecurities just like anybody else, but I don't let that overwhelm me. I don't let that consume me. And I feel like whatever you feed, that's what grows. So I feed my faith versus my fear.
Is that your faith in God? Or
my faith in God, my faith in myself. Like, I believe in me.
Yeah.
I believe in me. So,
yeah.
Know.
But I do think you need that, because I think in entertainment, it's so easy to get a kick in from the whole thing. You know, I mean, it's hard.
It's definitely hard. It's hard because you have so many options, you know. Of course, I have to be smart. You have to be business minded. You have to be strategic in that sense. But just as far as the music, I feel like the music will speak for itself. If it's authentic, if it's true, if it's pure, you'll reach who you're supposed to reach. I mean, you can't reach them all. You'll definitely reach who you're supposed to reach.
Your daughter, she must be so proud. How's she dealing with the whole thing?
It's kind of funny because, of course, my daughter, she knew I can't lose before I can't lose was I can't lose.
Okay.
She knew it when I was trying to learn it.
Okay.
So it's kind of funny, just seeing her, it's almost like she's experiencing everything with me. Because when I send her pictures when I'm away from home, and thank God for technology, she basically told me when she saw my video, my music video for the first time, which was, it melted my heart. She was like, "Mommy, you're a superstar." And at that moment, I felt I had accomplished something. She doesn't even know, she's my sole motivation anyway, to get my stuff together, because I had something else to live for, you know? I'm building right now to make my rooftop her foundation.
That's pretty impressive. That's a good way to finish. Is there anything that has really surprised you about the way the whole industry works or the way being a pop singer works?
I'm not that surprised by too much of anything, you know, because I kind of just prepare myself for the worst, to not necessarily expect the worst, but
you're ready for it.
I'm open-minded, you know, I'm just open-minded, so I just never put anything past anybody.
Well, it's a great journey you're on. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait for your album to come out. I bet it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be awesome. It's definitely going to be awesome. I think, to answer your question, though, I think the one of the things that kind of amazed me the most, just how people in, you know, I'm from the States, people in other countries, to me, and being at other festivals and performing other places, to me, is more unity in other countries. It seems that amazes me.
It must be strange to arrive somewhere for the very first time, and for people to already know your work. That must be so strange.
That is totally strange. And it's kind of funny because over there, it's more so, you know, I'm more noticed than here. And it's funny because my song plays here. The colleges are playing my songs and bands, and my song plays in the mall. But it's almost like I've been in a store where my song is playing and they just don't know that I'm in the store with them. But wow. I never say anything. I think I'm okay with it.
Well, thanks so much for doing this. It's been amazing. We'll chop it down. We'll chop it down into about maybe 20 minutes.
Cool.
And we'll talk about the way we met you, which was still so funny.
That is funny.
You never know who you're going to meet when you go for a coffee.
I know. That's why I have to watch my bummy ways, because I will definitely put on a hoodie, as you saw, and sweatpants, and sneakers, and Nikes, and go about my way.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like in 10 years' time? Because we'll be in the same place having coffee, and you'll be coming down the stairs with a whole load of PAs, and you won't need me to carry your case.
No autographs.
Not today. Keanu's tired. I gotta email you when your album comes out and say, "Hey, remember me?"
Yes. No. And by that time, you'll have a television show, and we'll be interviewing again.
Yeah, we'll just—that's exactly what it'll be. It'll just be the two of us sitting on a couch, just talking about the world. Cool. Listen. Take care.
Thank you. Speak to you soon.
How cool was she? Right, that's it from me. Thanks to my guests, Hallie Ridgway and Keanu Starr. You can follow Hallie on Twitter at Hallie Ridgway or on Instagram at Hallie_Ridgway. And make sure you check out that YouTube clip of Hallie because it will just set you up for the day. Keanu is on Instagram and Twitter as Keanu Starr, spelled key one star with two R's. I'm at Garode Farrelly on Twitter and we have a new email address here. It's fascinated@headstuff.org. That's fascinated@headstuff.org. So drop me a line if you have an idea for a guest or if you just want to get in touch. Make sure to check out the Headstuff podcast and website for lots of cool new articles, including Alison Spittle has a new column and it's absolutely great. She's just fantastically funny. PJ Gallagher has his own podcast with Suzanne Cain and it's called Dubland and it's absolutely great. So be sure to check that out. If you're stuck in traffic, just turn it on and let PJ do your ranting for you. Remember, like, rate, review, share. Thanks for listening. So Bruno Mars was so taken with the way that Keanu said Jackson, Mississippi, that he wrote it into Uptown Funk.
Jackson, Mississippi.
But as you can hear, Keanu is just effortlessly cool. Which got me thinking, I wonder can an Irish comedian be effortlessly cool?
Jackson, Mississippi.
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 No. No, they can't.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.